I know that the task that I have before me today, I know that I'm not sufficient for it. Never have been. But while we were singing, I began to feel the presence of the Lord. And God can take us and use us, all of us. He can take us and He can use us. And that's all that we ever really are. You know, the Bible teaches us plainly that we are not to think too highly of ourselves because we have no reason to. God forbid that I should glory or boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our sufficiency, Paul ended that by saying, you know, that we ought not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, because we're not sufficient as of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. But our sufficiency is of God. The only thing that can be said about you and I, those of us who have been saved, the only thing that can be said about us, the only good thing that can be said is that the Lord has taken up His abode in our hearts. And man's not good outside of that. The Bible tells us we're not. None good, no, not one. But I'm thankful that I have made good by the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to read some scripture today. I want to ask for your prayers from one of my favorite books of the Bible, the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. Hebrews 10, beginning with verse 19. If you care to read along with me. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And that's as far as I want to read. I'll end my reading there with verse 25. I want to use this for a title today, The Glad Assembly. The Glad Assembly. I want to remind you what the Hebrew writer said here in the last verse that I read, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. The glad assembly. I want to begin by saying that we have been extremely blessed here in this nation. We really have. God has poured His blessings out upon this nation to the point that we have experienced things both from a natural and a spiritual perspective, but we have experienced the temporal blessings of God in a way that many nations never have, honestly. And there are certainly many today that don't have the things that we have here. But we have, honestly, and this is what I believe. If you want to believe it some other way, then that'll be up to you. But this is what I believe that we have done as a nation, as a people, with the things that God has blessed us with. We have taken those things and we have spoiled ourselves with them to the point that in many ways it's just pitiful. And we have, I'm afraid, have reached the point where we take so many things for granted. And we just have this, I believe oftentimes, we have this false sense of security. And we believe that everything will be as good tomorrow as it is today. And you know, it just may not be that way. But we have been blessed beyond measure in this country that we live in. And we have one of the greatest blessings that this nation has ever known is that we have a great freedom of assembly. That was very important to our forefathers, to our Baptist forefathers. And I want to remind you all of this, that the freedom, I read an email a while back and I agreed with most of it, but there was one part of it that I just didn't agree with at all, because it said that the freedom of religion that we have in this country didn't come from the preacher, it came from the soldier. And then it listed other things. Like I said, most all of them I agreed with, but I want you to know this. You read your history and you'll find out that those Baptist preachers in the early days of Virginia had a great deal to do with the freedom of religion that you and I are experiencing today. There are great freedoms that we have today and that we enjoy because of our military force and because of those men and women who have served. But our freedom of religion, the Baptists in the early days of Virginia were very instrumental in securing what you and I have today. And they wanted us to have it. It was important to them that we have this. In fact, they shed a lot of blood along the way so that we could have it. And thank God that we still have it today. I'm convinced that it's certainly something that we take for granted, that we think it's going to always be here, that we're going to always have this freedom of assembly that we have. Well, we don't have any promise of that. We don't have any promise that it will always be this way. We don't know if time goes on. We don't know what our children may experience or our grandchildren may experience in that way, but we do still have it today. None of us today, we were allowed to come here, and none of us today were molested and or hassled or harmed in any way for coming here today and making it our choice to assemble here today in this worship service. And I would be very surprised today if somewhere through the course of this sermon, it would be a great shock to me if the law enforcement officials broke in here today and arrested me for preaching here. I don't anticipate that that's going to happen. It used to happen. It happened here years ago. It happened here in our country among our Baptist forefathers. It happened, there were times when the magistrates would come in and the sheriff would come in and they would arrest the preacher and they would take him away, you know, during the service. I mean, there are accounts in history of that having taken place, but we're free here today. And I'm glad that you have chosen to come here today. The church, you know, there are many things to be said about the church, and there are many functions of the church, and everything that Jesus left the church here in this world to do doesn't take place within a meeting house. There's a great work that we have to do when we later on here in a little while, like we do every time we meet, when we finally come to the point in this service where we have the benediction and this worship service is concluded and we go out and we're going our individual ways and our separate ways for a little while, we need to continue to work for the Lord. We need to be witnesses for Him out there. When we are among the people, wherever that we're at, we need to look for opportunities and pray for opportunities and take advantage of God opening doors and giving us opportunities to be a witness for Him. And there are many functions of the church, I believe, outside of the four walls where we meet. But one of the great things that the church does and has done for many years, and we read about it in the scriptures, is that she comes together in assembly. We assemble. If it was, I assure you of this, if it was never intended for us, what we are doing here today, as far as I'm concerned, is scriptural. If it was never intended for us to meet like this, then I assure you the Hebrew writer would have never wrote that we were not to forsake such a thing. It was intended for us to assemble and to worship and to be together. I'm going to say this to those of us who have the blessed privilege that we have and have such a great blessing bestowed upon us that we would be called the sons of God and that we would be privileged to be members of the greatest organization that has ever been on the earth. But listen, if you don't like assembly, you're not going to care much for heaven, because we're going to assemble. According to what I read in the scripture, when we're in heaven, we're going to assemble around the throne of God and we're going to worship Him forever and forever and forever and forever, and we're going to praise Him. And I'll tell you what, for a person that has been saved by God's grace, if you don't enjoy the assembly of the saints, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. Brother Wheat already used my key scripture today. I want to share with you some of the beautiful things that just a few passages from the Psalms, some of the beautiful things that David said concerning the house of the Lord. And the 122nd Psalm in the first verse is where I took my title from today. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I want to speak to you for just a moment here about the attitude that you and I ought to have towards assembling in the house of God. You know, it's my prayer, and I thought about this early this morning, it's my prayer that for every one of us, when we woke up this morning and we thought about the fact that this is the Lord's day, this is the day that we are going to gather together and we are going to meet at church and we're going to worship, it's my prayer that that put a great gladness and a joy in the heart of every one of you. Not to just get out of bed and say, well, gosh, I can't believe another Sabbath has already rolled around. But to be like David did, I'm not so sure that oftentimes that we have that attitude towards it. David said, I was glad, it made me happy when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Psalm 26 and 8, David said, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. And here's one that I really like, Psalm 84 and 10. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. And I want to tell you what I believe David was saying there in that psalm. The doorkeeper there oftentimes is looked at as a person, but the way I understand it, that's not what it meant. If you look up the Hebrew word from where that word doorkeeper was taken, it was talking about the very threshold or the seal of the door was called the doorkeeper. And that doorkeeper wasn't actually inside of the house of God. It was right there at the entry of the house of God. And so seemingly what David was saying was, I would rather be that seal, I would rather be that doorkeeper at the house of God, even though it's not all the way inside the house of God, I'd rather be standing there just outside of the house of God than to be all the way inside the tents of the wicked. I'd rather be a doorkeeper, be standing right there at the threshold. And in fact, in the Hebrew, that's exactly what that word doorkeeper meant. It meant to wait at the threshold. I'd rather be standing right there than to be inside the tents of wickedness. You know, there are things that we can get here that we're not going to get anywhere else. When we assemble ourselves together, I want you to think today, and this is the thought that the Lord gave me, and this is my motivation for preaching this today. I want us to stop for a moment and reflect and think how blessed that we really are that we can do this today. What a great blessing is bestowed upon anybody. We'll go back to the verse there in 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. There's not a greater thing that can happen to anybody than to be saved by God's grace and to be one of God's children. But there's not anything better in this world that you can be a part of. There's not an organization in this world that you can be a part of that's any more blessed than being a part of the Lord's church. There's things that I have got through the years. There's things that I have been blessed with through the years. I understand a little bit about what David said. Lord, I've loved it. I have loved the habitation of thine house and the place wherein thine honor dwelleth. Well, you know, when I was just a little boy, you know what I learned among the people of God? I learned among them one of the most important things that I ever learned in my life. They didn't teach me this in the public school system. The world didn't teach me this anywhere else. I learned among the people of God that when I came to the point that I knew that I was lost, that Jesus Christ was my only way of salvation. I learned that among the assembly of the saints of the people of God. And you know, when I would be among them, when I was lost, when I was a boy that was lost, and there were a lot of places I went. You know, I went to public schools there. I grew up in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I went to public schools there. And you know, when I would go to school, my teachers, they wouldn't take me aside and spend private time with me and talk to me and tell me that I needed to seek the Lord and that I needed to be saved and pray with me. But listen, when I was among the people of God, when I was among the great assembly of the people of God, that happened to me. There were people that shared with me that they were concerned about my soul, that they wanted me to be saved. And they would pray with me and pray for me. I've been blessed in my life beyond measure to be in the assembly of God's people. I think it was just a couple of weeks ago, my wife made a comment, and we both feel very blessed to be here. I want the church here to know that we feel blessed. My wife made this comment to me a couple of weeks ago. She said, you know, I love to go to church on Sunday morning. She said, When I walked in there, when we got there and I walked in, there were people already there. And she said they were hugging on each other and loving each other. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. There is a love that exists among the people of God that you won't find in the world. Amen. You won't find it anywhere else. You are, and I want you to know this, if you're here this morning and you are lost and separated from God, there's a love in the hearts of these people here for you that you're not going to find anywhere else in this world. They have a desire towards your soul that you're not going to find in any other organization in this world. I'm not saying that you, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you won't ever find a school teacher that's concerned about you or somebody else out there that's concerned about you, because there are Christian people, there are saved people all over the place. But I'm talking about the fact that you will never find an assembly of people anywhere else in this world that will have the love for your soul that the church of the Lord Jesus has for you. I'm concerned about you today, lost friend. I am, because I know where you're headed. I know the terror of the Lord, and so I seek to persuade you. I know what's waiting you if you continue lost in your sins. There are people here today, seated out here, that knows what's waiting you if you continue lost and in your sins. If there's any misunderstanding in your mind, if you just don't know or don't understand why that people come to you and try to talk to you and try to plead with you about the condition of your lost soul, well, let me clear it up for you. It's because we know what's waiting those who continue lost and in their sins. We know there's eternal destruction that's waiting you if you continue lost and in your sins. And there's a love that God has placed in our heart towards you that won't allow us to do anything else than to try to reach you concerning the salvation of your soul. You need to be saved. You need it today, because you may not be here tomorrow. You may not be here the rest of this day. I was glad. How about it this morning, folks? How was it? You can ask yourself the question. How was it with you? When you woke up this morning, when you begin to put on the pretty dress, or you begin to put on the suit and tie, or whatever that you put on this morning, when you got ready, made yourself ready and got ready to go to the house of God, how was it? Was there a gladness bubbling up in your heart? Was there a joy in your heart? Look at what I get to do today. Listen, it's not something that I have to do. None of us had to come here today. God allows us to make the choice, doesn't it? Doesn't he? God didn't drag any of us here. I'm thankful for every one of you that made the choice to be here today. But I will say this, there's not a better place on the face of this earth that you could be today than to be assembled with the in the house of God, with the people of God, feeling the blessings of God. Friends, listen, there's an invisible force that exists among us. I told you this morning, I begin to feel his presence during the singing. There's an invisible force that exists among us. That blessing is upon the assembly of God's people. It was promised. He promised that to the church. You know what the Lord told his church after he had resurrected, and he had commissioned them as to what they were supposed to do? To go into the world and to preach the gospel, to baptize those that believe, and to teach them to observe all the things that he had commanded. You know what he said? I will be with you. I will be with you even unto the end of the world. Well, But we can see in the scriptures that it wasn't long after that that Jesus gathered together with those disciples and a cloud came down and received him out of their sight and took him back to heaven to be with God. The Lord's not here today in his physical presence, is he? But he's still with us. He's still with us just the same. Jesus promised his church, I won't leave you alone. I won't leave you comfortless. I'll send another comforter. And on that great day of the Pentecost there that we read about in the first and second chapter of Acts there, when they had been tarrying like Jesus told them to, they had been tarrying, they had been waiting there in Jerusalem. They were gathered together and they were praying. They were waiting for that great promise that the Lord had given them to be fulfilled when he had promised them that they would be filled with power from on high. He said, I want you to wait here. I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And they were together and they were minding the Lord and they were waiting for the Lord and they were praying for that, and the Spirit came upon them as a rushing mighty wind, took up his abode with the church and has been with her ever since. I don't believe this stuff about the church starting there at Pentecost. People can believe what they want. I don't believe it. I believe when the Lord before he ever left this world, before his ministry was over, I'm convinced from the scriptures that his church was already in motion. But I do believe she was empowered that day. Folks, I'll tell you what, we got a power among us that nobody else has. I mean, that's not for us to boast. That ought to be very humbling to us. I'll tell you something else. With great power comes great responsibility. And not only do we have access to the greatest power that there's ever been, but we've got the greater responsibility than any. The church has a greater responsibility to this world than any organization has ever had, because she is the only institution that the Lord commissioned to take the gospel to the ears of lost people that they might hear what they need to do in order to be saved. Great responsibility. I mean, folks, listen, when the church fails, it's a big failure. It's a big failure. I hope that we understand what a great blessing that we have to be assembled here today. You can feel things here. You can witness things here. You know, some of you, the companies that you work for, they call assemblies, they call meetings. We're going to have a meeting today. I remember some of the places that I worked for in my life, they had meetings to decide when to have a meeting. I mean, it's just like, you know, they were meeting crazy. They were always, we're going to have a meeting about this or about that. And they would come together and there would be several people and they'd gather around a big table and they would talk about things. But, you know, in those secular meetings that I was in, those meetings were never about somebody standing up before us. And there was usually a spokesman at those meetings. But it was never about somebody standing up before us and saying, listen to me, I want to tell you today what thus saith the word of God. I've got a message from God for you today. And folks, I want to tell you something. When we come, when we assemble ourselves together in the house of God, you've got a man standing before you. It may be your pastor. It may be another preacher at times. But we commonly have somebody standing before us that says, listen, I want you to pay attention to this, because I've come here today to bring you a message that God sent me here to bring to you. And if that's not important to you, God help you. I'll tell you what, the church is a place to worship. When we assemble here, it better be joyous and glad, and it better be serious. I preached one time. I don't know if I'll ever get this. It's ingrained in my mind. I don't know if I'll ever get rid of it. I stood up one time and preached at a church. I wouldn't dare tell you where it was at. But I stood one time and preached, and while I was preaching, I kept seeing this man setting up. He was setting up close to the pulpit up in the front, and that whole service, he had his clippers taking care of his fingernails. God have mercy. The church is not a beauty salon. Amen. And when we assemble, we're not here for that. Let me tell you something. The church, when we assemble ourselves together, it's not a place to take out your cell phone and send a text message to somebody. Your mind ought to be elevated to higher things than that. Amen. I mean, God forgive us for some of the things that we have taken up and some of the things that parents have allowed children to do in the house of God. You may not care for that, but I'm determined to tell you the truth. Amen. We have assembled here to worship. And that's what it's about. You know, I love, on Sunday morning, I love to see everybody. I do. I'm anxious about that, and I love to see my brothers and sisters and share a handshake or a hug or whatever the case may be. But you know, the church is not a social gathering. I mean, that's not all the church is here for. We enjoy each other's fellowship. We love to see each other. But brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God and to lift up the name of Jesus. You know, listen, the greatest thing that you can do for me today or any time that I stand here in this pulpit bringing a message, the greatest thing that you can do for me is just to let me fade out of your sight and let Jesus become real before your eyes. He's the one that needs to be exalted. He's the one that needs to be worshiped. We have met today to worship and adore the one that's worthy today of all honor and all glory and all praise. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I believe it was a couple of weeks back, Sister Maddie Jo was giving a testimony, and I, you know, something that she said in that has been in my mind ever since. She said, "Why would I not worship God? He created me. He created me. God made me, folks, and He made you. Why would we not come together and worship the Lord? Why do so many people not even seem to have a desire to come and worship God?" I'll tell you what, there's people all over this city today. They're mowing their grass and they're washing their cars. You know what? They could have come here today and they could have heard something about God. They could have heard about God's word. They could have heard something that's worth hearing. I'll tell you what, folks, listen, there are people in this nation that we live in today, I guarantee you this, they spend their whole week filling their minds with nothing but trash. I mean trash. They get it from the papers, they get it from the computers, they get it from books that they ought to not even buy or read. I mean, there are people that put garbage in all the time. You know, the best document in the world that I've ever sat down with is right here. I have been blessed beyond measure reading this book. There have been times, and I know that you know what I'm talking about. There have been times when I've been reading this And I mean, my soul just, oh my goodness, I just get blessed beyond measure. Nothing, there's never been anything written. Man has never written anything that has affected me the way that the scriptures have. I'd rather come here today and be with you people. If I was sitting out there today and somebody else was preaching, I guarantee you, I'd feel the same way. I would rather come here today and be with you people and hear about the Word of God than to be sitting in the finest theater in the world, watching the finest play in the world. I would. I'll tell you what, I'm going to share this again. You know, many of these things that I say to you from time to time, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to presuppose anybody, I guess, but you may go away and saying, man, I wish he'd quit harping on that. Well, I will when you fix it. Just fix it, and I won't have another word to say about it. But the Bible tells us this very plainly, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Today is God's day. Amen. This is the Lord's day. The Sabbath is barely regarded anymore. You know that? I mean, it's not, I'll just be honest with you, it's not regarded among us the way it was intended to be. You can talk about the Sabbath today. You know what I believe I could do today? You all might as well hang on and be a little patient this morning, because I'm going to be a little while yet. But I'll tell you what I believe I can do today. I believe I could stand up here today and I could preach a sermon about adultery. And I could say, you know, adultery is a horrible, pitiful sin. I mean, what an abominable thing that it is to be unfaithful to your spouse. And I believe there's a lot of people that would say amen to that. I believe I could stand up here today and I could preach and I could say what a terrible thing that it is to go and steal something that belongs to somebody else. And you go and you're so sorry that you steal it from them. And I believe there's a lot of people that would say amen. I believe I could stand up here today and say, folks, listen, it is wrong for us to go and take a piece of stone or a piece of wood or a piece of brass and mold something out of that and bow our knees to that and worship that. And I believe there would be people here that would say amen. But I could get up and say, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, and people would be thinking about the cafeteria. It's time to go eat lunch, or it's time to go, or I've got something planned today that I've got to do. And I got a feeling that you would lose your amens there. You know why? Because we conform to the world. That's why. We conform to the world. I'm going to tell you something. You know, this is what I believe. You can like it or not like it. You can take it or you can leave it. But this is exactly what I believe about it. Any place, the schools, listen, you know, the public schools that our children attend, when the school systems begin this stuff not really that long ago, when they began to say, we're going to do this or we're going to do that or we're going to have this school function or this game or sports event or play or whatever that it is, we're going to have this on the Lord's Day, and your child would have to miss the assembly of the saints of God, would have to miss church in order to be there. The Christian people should have stood up and said no. Amen. No. Amen. No. If it's got to be that way, we just won't involve them in it. But we didn't do that. We conformed to the world. conform. Well, okay, if that's, you know, if that's when they're going to have it, I guess that's, folks, you know, you can admit it or not admit it, but that's exactly what we've done. We have conformed to what they said, conformed to the world. Anything, I don't care what it is, and I just use that for one example, but anything that draws us away from the assembly of the saints, we need to handle that like we do the drugs. We need to just say no. Just say no. This day, the Lord's day, ought to be a blessed day and a special day to us. And, you know, you can take it out if you want to, but you know what's going to happen when you do? You're going to become one of those nine commandment people. Because God put it in there. It made the Big Ten list. It made the Big Ten list. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. An hour and a half church service is too long for many people, but a 2.5 hour ball game is just dandy. That's just the truth. That's just the way it is. I mean, that's just what, in many ways, that's what we've become. We have conformed to the world in so many things. Listen, if you'd really, church, I'll tell you this, and I love you with all my heart, but I'll tell you this, if you would really stop and take a good look, take a real good look and assess our lives, you'd find out that that's exactly true. We have conformed to the world in ways that I'm afraid we don't even realize. Well, it don't make any difference. You know, I mean, if there's something else going on, it's not a big deal. Listen, it is not it is not a big deal among us to forsake the assembling of ourselves together if there's something else to do, if there's fun in the sun going on or something else happening. It's not a big deal to just leave church and go do that. Doesn't really make a difference. I mean, that's the way we think, isn't it? That's the way we think. That's what our actions prove. Well, we've got a great privilege. Every time that we can come here and assemble ourselves together, folks, we can experience things that will bless us in ways that nothing else will. Why in the world? Why would anybody not enjoy? Anybody, especially anybody that has been saved, that knows the Lord and the pardon and forgiveness of sin, not want to be with the people of God? Did you know that? And I realize that sometimes that people are not able. I realize sometimes that people are sick. But did you know in just about every church that you'll go to, that there are people that are healthy, they're well, they're able to drive, they're able to get out, they're able to be about and go around and do things? You know there are people that have their names on the church roll that haven't attended a church service for 25 or 30 years? That's awful, isn't it? That's terrible. I don't understand that type of thing. But it happens. It happens. Listen, every time that we have the privilege to come together and assemble, there ought to be a desire and there ought to be a gladness in your heart. And you ought to say, yes, I want to be there. I want to go to that. I want to be a part of that. I want to be with God's people. I want to feel the presence of the Lord. The gladness of the assembly of the people of God. Sure enough, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing that God has given us the privilege to assemble. Let's have a song, Brother Ronnie. I'd like to just ask everybody today to follow the Lord. I've tried to do what God asked me to do, and that's all I can ask of you today. Just try to follow the Lord and do what God would have you do. If you're here today and you're lost, you need to come to the Lord. You need to seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul while we stand and sing.